Greetings, children of the solstice. Gather around the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
Listen up, you little f***ers. There's going to be some funny shit in here today, and you're going to love it. Put the kids in the other room for this raunchy show about comics that work blue. And now, freaking Shelly, Lisa, and Daryl.
Guys, and welcome to Season 5, Episode 6 of Good Witch, Bad Witch. We are your hosts. This is the Good Witch, Shelley Majors.
Hardly ho.
I'm your Bad Witch, Lisa Brown. And then we also have the Man Witch with two N's.
Two N's, people.
Daryl Brown.
Good to be here, folks.
Thank you so much for listening. We are going to be talking dirty to you today. But before that happens, we will have a little intro. And this is called It's My Life.
It's my life, it's now or never. I ain't gonna live forever.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's My Life is a new segment created by Daryl Brown, and it couldn't be more self-describing. I think we're going to talk about our lives. And I think the most important thing in my life right now, everybody knows, is that I'm almost done with Ted Lasso.
Oh, nice.
We've been having so much fun watching it and enjoying it. And since you guys have watched all three seasons, I wanted to give you guys a little Ted Lasso, not a quiz. There's not a right or wrong answer, but I want your opinion on some things.
It's been a while. I feel like I should watch it again, but
these are easy.
Okay.
It's worth watching again. I would definitely watch it again.
So good.
So, knee jerk, first instinct. Who is your favorite character?
Roy.
Daryl.
It's a tie between Roy and Ted. Yeah. I also like Danny.
Well, that comes later.
Okay.
Who's your favorite member on the team?
Roy.
Right?
Yeah.
Danny. Okay. What's your favorite episode off the top of your head?
Oh.
And you can't say the last two because I haven't seen them yet.
Because
mine was Amsterdam or Christmas.
Yeah, the Christmas one was
so good. And so original.
You know, I don't really know. I can't remember episode from episode. I just still, it must be either the first or the second, just because, you know, there was so much hype about the show and I really didn't know what to expect. And after watching that first one, I was just so, aww.
So tender and precious.
I was actually talking to Shelley about this. It's like, there's no bad guy in
it.
I mean,
her ex-husband,
but you know, but he's not a main character. He just kind of comes and goes and stuff. But you in Shameless.
Yes.
Every single person you were pissed at some point.
Yep.
This one, every single person you like at some point.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They're relatable, gray areas, actual real people.
Yeah.
My favorite storyline, it wasn't a whole episode, although they did name an episode after it, was when all the rough and gruff athletic coaches and directors started the Diamond Dogs, which is their guy talk about relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a meeting of the Diamond Dogs, and then Leslie would come running, and then they would all talk about girls, and then they would adjourn the meeting with a, oh.
It's so
it was kind of like their own AAA meeting.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So you haven't seen the end yet, so...
We've got two more. I think we're going to hit it tonight.
Now... I don't think this is going to be a spoiler for you because obviously it ended quite some time ago.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. But I still don't know what happens.
But do you think that there will either be another one down the line or a spinoff later?
It sounds like they were talking about doing something in 2025.
Okay. Oh, like with actual the
I don't know if it's going to be a spinoff or I'll take any spinoff.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I thought I had heard that the Roy character was going to take over the team and then go from there. I've also heard that Ted Lasso was going to a team somewhere else.
It's unfuckable.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Whoever's involved, I can't wait.
I agree.
I just can't wait.
Okay.
My favorite secondary character was the psychologist. Because she, the black lady that got in the bicycle accident.
Yeah.
Yes, for secondary character, although the hot guy on the houseboat with Rebecca, that was nice too.
Yeah.
Very flirty and romantic and unpredictable. Didn't see that coming. But my favorite team member is Jamie.
I think Jamie's pretty cute. I mean, he's obviously adorable. I mean, he's obviously beautiful.
Oh, they had to set him in his place, you know?
I know. Yeah. He's a beautiful, and he's such a twit.
Yes.
At the beginning, but they do. Yeah, he's Pepe and stuff, but they do turn him around. It's such a great show. If you guys haven't seen it, it's worth getting Apple for. And same with Shrinking.
Yes, we've got it. That's my next one. Somebody just told me to watch that besides you. So anyway, it's next on the list.
Yeah.
But I know that doesn't sound like it's really my life. It's just what I'm watching, but it's affected my life.
There you go.
And that's why I'm talking about it.
Perfect.
Yeah. What's in your life?
Well, mine's fresh in my mind. The other day, we had some snow, so Lisa was getting ready to leave for work, and she goes, can you shovel the walk? But I said, okay. Well, it was deeper than I thought it was, so I got my snowblower going. So I have to use this silicone spray on my snowblower blade and the chute so that none of the snow sticks on it. So I sprayed it and came back in and I set it on the counter and I said, okay, give me a few minutes and I'll get this done. So I went and I snowblowed the driveway. So Lisa takes off for work and everything and stuff. So I'm having my coffee and I go, you know, I'm in the mood for a couple of eggs. I think I'll have some eggs. So I get a bowl down from the cabinet. And I get the vegetable spray, and I spray the vegetable spray in the bowl, and I crack a couple of eggs in the bowl, and I put it in the microwave. And, you know, it's just easier.
You hardly ever do that.
I cook them usually, but...
Yeah, because he's just not a microwave-y guy.
No, I was hungry, and it was faster.
Yeah.
So I did it that way. And, you know, dang, they come out. So I sit down at the bar, and I'm eating them, like... These have kind of a different taste to them, but they are farm fresh eggs.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, so I'm eating it. I get the last bite down, and I look over my, you know, kind of to the right of me, and I'm like, son of a bitch, I didn't use Pam spray. I used my snowblower silicone spray on my eggs.
I bet they didn't stick to your blades.
Those suckers slid right down. Those were the fastest eggs. So I turn the bottle around and I look at it and it says extremely dangerous if swallowed. So now I'm freaking. So I immediately make myself throw up.
Good.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there. And then I'm drinking.
You just put a finger down?
Chugging water. Well, it kind of grossed me out when I thought about it. So chugging water. Ugh. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go lay down for a bit. My tummy, am I home? Do I feel okay? Should I get up? Should I call 911? What should I do? So I went through the whole day. Well, Lisa always calls when she's on her getting ready to leave here to head home, you know, and stuff. And I go, so I got something to tell you. So I tell her the story, and I go, but I use the spray, and she... You know, guys, when you love Lisa's hard giggle, cry, laugh, she goes... I can't breathe. I think I peed myself. I gotta go. So
well, I was trying so hard not to laugh because he seemed so pathetic when he was telling this story.
Yes.
But I couldn't, like, my stomach was cramping from holding it in. I was like, and because I saw that fucking spray counter when I was leaving. And I seriously looked at it like, I wonder what that is. And I was like, oh, that's for the snowblower. I mean, I don't know. Should I have put it away?
I don't see how this is your fault at all.
No, it's not. No. But I just was like, I don't know. So I held it in until... He kind of started giggling, and then I was just like, I just hung up on him. And I swear to God, I ran to the bathroom because I thought I was going to piss myself.
Well, it is so non-stick.
And like I was telling my uncle the story, and he goes, it says right on the bottle, keep out of the reach of children.
Well, can the opposite be true? Can you use Pam to unstick your snowboard blade?
A lot of people used to do that, but it kind of gunks it up.
Oh,
yeah,
it
stays slick.
Like, that's a great question, really.
But yeah, this here coats it. So I noticed lately, though, things have been going down my throat faster. You know, I think I got a nice coat going on.
Shooting real fast.
Got a luge.
Yeah. He doesn't even have to, like, go to the toilet. He just walks by and goes, pee, pee, pee.
Oh, drive-by pooping.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's my life story.
His first and last time. Probably.
Well, I think you guys' stuff is so cute. I just don't even want to talk.
Say it.
Well, no, I don't even. I've just been super emotional lately, and... since my birthday, I feel like I've just had like a stroke of a bunch of craziness and bad luck and stuff like that. So nothing that I really can put my finger on or
things just aren't going right.
Yeah. I lost a really good friend and that's kind of messed me up a little bit. And I mean, I didn't like lose her. She's not like going to be ever found and stuff. She passed away. So, but that is
unexpectedly.
Do you want to say something about her or something to honor her? I know it's really fresh and raw.
Yeah.
Her name was Becca, and I called her Sniffler.
Well, I don't even remember why, because she was always...
I was always messing with her and, sniffing her. Get over here, Sniffler. Every time she'd
come not a reason.
Every time she'd come to get her nails done, I'd be sniffing her.
I think it was because she had sniffles one time.
I don't know, but
he comes up with the weirdest nicknames for people. It's just kind of strange. But I do have to say, okay, you guys have heard us talk like over and over and stuff about our friend Colleen, who we lost about a little over 11 years ago, when she was diagnosed with cancer. Becca wrote me every single day from the time Colleen was diagnosed to well into after her passing to make sure I was okay. And she just, that was her thing. She just was always wanted to be there for you. The other thing too, I swear, this is more funny than anything, but she was so supportive of anything I did. If I was like, hi, I've just found this new bird poop that helps wrinkles, she would have bought it and tried it just to support me. And I always, she had different, like, MLMs, multi-level marketing things that she had tried over the years. I think she did Norwex or something like that. And I always, she's like, I don't understand. I always try to, like, support everybody else and nobody will ever help me. And it's just like, there's just people, you know.
She was selfless.
She was.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I know that, I mean, you know, if you talk to her kids or stuff like that, anybody, she wasn't perfect, as none of us are. Mm-hmm. But I think that she more than probably made up for everything towards the latter part of her life. And to lose her very unexpectedly the way that we did just broke my heart. So I haven't really been able to cry that much. And so thanks for letting me let that out.
Yeah.
And
we have a format here.
Yeah. So
she was really important to you. And yeah. I think she left quite an impact. I didn't know her very well, but I really liked all of her notes of positivity and prayer. And I think she was a Christian that actually walked the walk and loved her family like crazy. And what her daughter wrote that I saw yesterday is lovely. She just sounds like she was adored, and rightfully so.
And the thing that was funny is that she was a Christian, and she was super, super into the God and the faith and all that stuff, but definitely didn't judge me for not being.
Yeah.
And stuff.
She never said
anything about where my faith stood or tried to convert me.
Good.
Or did anything whatsoever to do that, and just made for a really, really great friendship.
What used to crack me up about her, though, was, you know, she had the devil in her, because she would tell you stories about her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she'd be like, oh, boy, Daryl, you don't know, back in the day, give me a couple of shots, and I'm up on the bar dancing, I'm having a good old time, and I'm like, well, there you go. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad she was such a good friend to you. I'm sure that feeling was mutual.
Yeah, I hope so. So now we are going to be talking to comedy after this. So exciting. We will be back with the meat of our program. Rest in peace, Becca. We will
be right
back after this.
Yes.
Hey there, witches. Welcome back. Going on to the you always give everybody nicknames thing.
Mm-hmm.
The person or animal that I know that has the most nicknames is Linus. He's probably got 27. His latest one is Lionel Scritchy.
Oh, I like that.
What do you think?
Lionel Scritchy.
Yeah, Lionel Scritchy. He's been scratching a lot.
Oh. I think that my favorite of all of my dogs, because I give them,
they earn them
nicknames more than I have their real name.
Yes.
And stuff, but I called Bella Riri.
Yeah.
And stuff because she was a little Riri and stuff. But it came from this. It was Bella.
Uh-huh.
Then Bellarina.
Uh-huh.
Then Rina.
Yes.
Then just Riri.
Riri. Yeah. I love that. There's an evolution.
Yeah. So I just called her Riri all the time.
What's your favorite nickname, Daryl?
I call Fiona Flea.
Hey, yeah.
Flea. Yeah.
I call her Blueberry.
That's cute.
My nicknames have Fleona. Nothing to do with their names.
Yeah.
Flea. What about Dirty Bastard?
Right.
ODB. Speaking of Dirty Bastards.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Our show today is about dirty, filthy, people that use bad words, comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember how I got the idea, but usually, like all of us, when we get an idea, we shoot the other two a text and be like, is it fine how it is? Do we flesh it out? Do we table it for later? Do we forget about it? And depending on how drunk we are or what mood we're in or how tired we are, we're like, yeah, let's go with it.
Yeah.
The show's tomorrow. Let's go.
Right.
It's in an hour.
But anyway, I don't remember how it came to me, but I was just inspired on what a very specific subculture this is, you know, because there's people that only do clean and people that only do dirty. And there were some, I guess part of it to me in real life, people that I find funny, it's not shock value. Mm-hmm. You know what
I
mean?
Well, yeah.
Like there are comedians that sometimes they might cuss, sometimes they won't, but it's not their shtick. Right.
Right.
Okay.
And for instance, Mitch Hedberg, mm-hmm. Stephen Wright, yeah, that sort of thing. You know, that's my kind of humor to me.
Oh, yeah.
But the shock value comedians that are wicked smart and the saying fuck is actually part of the joke and it's important and it's well written and well timed and well delivered. I want to talk about those guys.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And ladies.
Yeah.
So number one on my list, and I want to hear you guys' feelings, emotions, your favorite jokes by them, whatever. But my first instinct when I got this, where were you when you first saw Delirious? Eddie Murphy, Raw, 1983.
You know,
what was HBO? Raw was 1987, sorry.
Delirious, I don't remember seeing that. I do remember I saw Raw in the theater.
Oh,
and
really?
I do, and I don't know if I was old enough to go or if, like, we had to have one of our moms, like, get us in or whatever.
Let's see, Raw was the purple outfit.
It was. And that was 1987, so we were, if you only 16. Had 16 or 18.
No, I think you had to be 18.
You probably went with your parents, maybe.
17 or 18. I didn't go with I went with friends.
Yeah.
I don't remember what friends.
Well, the people that worked at the theater were probably younger than us. Yeah, so they were like, whatever.
I think it was people from, like, drama camp or something, memory serves. But I remember thinking I was disappointed because it wasn't as funny as Delirious.
Right.
Although when I look back, it was actually pretty funny.
But there's so many lines that became part of our vernacular and culture and experience.
Oh my God.
Fall down a stair.
I was just going to say. Halfway down the stairs.
The Aunt Bunny skit.
Big brown shark in the water.
Going in the hole. It's going in the hole. Yeah. There's so many in Delirious that just became a staple of our culture. And but I also do remember it being so raunchy that it made me uncomfortable. Not right. Raunchy.
But vulgar.
Vulgar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget how many times he says in just the first 5 minutes of the show, he says fuck, I think over 150 times.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's so, like, you don't look twice anymore when somebody does it. Like, it's even, I guess not on, like, network television per se, but cable.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, you can see the
anything
word on The Walking Dead or, yeah.
Well, we did that. We watched the music special of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
But we didn't watch it on NBC. We watched it on Peacock, and they had everything, all the cussing
in
it.
Uncensored.
Yeah, it was, and I go, I'm glad we watched this one.
Yeah.
It's weird to watch SNL with cussing.
Them cussing, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
That's definitely off the board in the live version.
Yeah.
Do you feel like maybe it was the time that made Delirious so shocking, or that it was how old we were? Because we were 12.
No, I think it was the time, because that we still, we use that kind of language, you know, and stuff. It wasn't,
but
like
HBO. That was 2 years old, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that it shocked me because of my age. I think it more, because I remember it shocking my parents as much.
See, the funny thing was, Oh, sorry. I was so used to it because my parents would have listening parties, and if somebody got a new comedy album, all their friends would come over to the house, so they'd have it at my mom's and dad's house, you know, when they were together. So I heard Richard Pryor albums, and I heard, you know, Carlin albums and stuff, so the language was not, you know, it didn't
that wasn't
throw me
new.
Off. I just thought Eddie Murphy was doing it more for a shock value to try and outdo Richard Pryor,
right?
You know.
And not to step on your
toes
or whatever,
we're doing great.
I never listened to any, so I didn't have the appreciation for George Carlin, Richard Pryor, and Lenny Bruce, people like that, because I still, to this day, I don't think I've watched any of their comedy, even George Carlin.
Oh,
the only thing that I have, I mean, I know the whole...
Seven Dirty Words
skit. But those guys, I knew Carlin from Bill and Ted, and Richard Pryor from The Toy, you know, and stuff. I didn't, and stuff. So
Stir Crazy.
I think that Eddie Murphy was my first, like,
introduction.
Value.
Okay.
Well, yes. Okay, yes.
And I think that Richard Pryor was his, if I remember correctly, was his inspiration.
Yeah.
But what Eddie Murphy could do... It wasn't just telling stories, and I'll get to Richard Pryor here in a minute, but just poop jokes or whatever, which, again, at the time was shocking and all that other stuff. But he could do characters and visually act out a story. He wasn't just standing there telling jokes. He was a performer.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's well, and, you know, that's kind of the same way George Carlin was.
Yeah.
Because George, well, you know, I don't want to jump ahead, but, you know.
We can.
George Carlin was a thinking man's comedian.
Exactly.
Because he was so fast, and you go, wait, what did he just say?
Yes.
And you want to either.
He did talk. I mean, because I.
Watch it go back.
I have seen, like, clippets of, you know, like you said, the seven deadly words. And stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this your house is stuff for more stuff. And so I've seen clips of stuff.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know if it was over my head or what the deal was with him. Yeah. But
it might have been.
I never found him. I mean, maybe I should go back now that I'm older and be like, you are hilarious. I just don't think I found him that funny.
I think he was perfect for the time, maybe for people older than us.
Mm-hmm.
like maybe Daryl's age.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
So much older.
I'm cheesy. But he, because it was really smart, rapid fire, but also he was kind of prophetic in a way. Mm-hmm. Like he was making fun of societal things that, you know, we were still in the poop joke phase.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about, like, we'll just jump into George if you want. But first of all, the seven words were shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. Mm-hmm. That you can't say on television.
Okay.
And that was a big deal. And that wasn't the actual list, but everybody's like, oh,
yeah.
You know?
Oh,
yeah.
But the thing that he said that stuck with me that is still kind of a thing now is about how people change and soften the language and they think that it changes a condition and it doesn't. It makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. He was saying World War One, you have shell shock. You know, these people are in physical and mental distress from combat. And then World War II, they call it battle fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And then Korean War, they call it whatever. And then after Vietnam, it gets trickled down to post-traumatic stress disorder that is now used as a label for all these other things. And I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying that what these people actually went through, sometimes you need that hard verbal language. Mm-hmm. And here's a comedian telling us to quit being pansies and face the problem and fix the problem. And, you know, it's a mental health crisis. But the same thing with, and he never said this, I'm throwing it in there, but, you know, changing rape to sexual assault.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these people were victimized, they were abused, they were whatever. And with us softening the language, I think it's doing a disservice to the victims.
Yeah, because I think that rape punches you.
Yes.
I mean, that just sounded a little bit.
No,
I mean, when you're like, I was raped and stuff, it just is like.
It chills you.
Yeah.
It's like, we need to address that.
And then,
issue.
If somebody was to say that, I would double take and be like, wait, what?
You don't have to guess. I wasn't hugged inappropriately.
Yes.
So bad. What happened to you?
Yeah.
Let's fix this.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what I like the most about him. I thought he was a good observer of society and how ridiculous we are sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And he was that brutally honest thing with I just remembered this one, throw it in. But he's like, I don't want to see a picture of your fucking kids. I'm sitting at the DMV. It's before cell phones and stuff. And I don't know you. I don't know your kids. I don't care.
Yeah.
I want to see a picture of your fucking kids.
Yeah, that is so true. Well, then just going ahead. So then after Eddie Murphy, I think that I'd like to tell a little story about this.
Please.
So when I was, we were around 20 years old, we lost one of our best friends in a really, really horrific car accident. And I remember thinking at that time that I would never smile again. Okay. I would never laugh again. Nothing ever would make me happy.
Right.
We were so young. Yeah. And
it was unexpected. It was devastating.
I think we were maybe even 19. Yeah. I think we were 18, 19.
And we didn't know how to process.
It was the first person that we were very, very close to that we had lost. And again, in a horrific way and stuff. And so we did a lot of bonding with our core group of friends. And we would just get together and do a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
And stuff, like just sit around. And I don't know if we'd listen to music or just stare at
smoking.
Each other.
Yeah.
There was smoking involved. There was a, not the weed, but a lot of cigarettes. And stuff. I don't remember where we were, and I don't remember who decided to put it on. But we started watching the Bob Saget special. And it was the first time in weeks or months that I laughed, and I laughed so hard I thought I was gonna die. And I think, and I'd like to, you know, it's funny because I'd like to watch it again now just to see if it was actually as funny as I thought it was.
It's still pretty shocking.
Is it, well, and you guys have to remember that this was dad, what was
Full
his
House.
Name?
Full House. Yeah.
He's
you
in
know?
Here. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was such, I mean, Andy was the America's Funniest Home Video guy.
Yes. Super wholesome.
So the fact that we're like, oh, this guy will be funny. And we put it on and he was so, and it wasn't even, and to be honest with you, I don't think he used bad words.
No, but he always talked about his dick.
Yes. He'd just be like, oh God, I love you guys so much. Let me put a box on my lap and give you all a puppet show.
And we were dying. Yes.
Oh my God. I thought, I was like, what is happening?
And it was rapid fire.
It was.
Just dirty,
was
dirty,
just,
dirty, dirty,
well,
dirty,
yeah. Dirty. And he just, and it would just, the stuff he would come up with. And so that was my second introduction to what is going on in my life.
Thank you for putting a timeline on that, because when I was looking him up, I was remembering that, but I couldn't remember when it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a special called like That Ain't Right or something like that in 2007. I'm like, no, it was long before then.
Yeah.
But some of the clips I watched while researching this, research in quotes loosely, he would love going out with his buddies from Full House, you know, John Stamos and David Kaye, and fuck with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was talking about they went into a bathroom, and he's like, you know, we're sword fighting, you know, tossing dicks or whatever. But there was like some young kid, a 17-year-old kid or whatever, peeing, and they're talking over him like, as if they were the actual characters of Full House.
No.
Yes. Well, like, well, you know, didn't Becky suck your dick this morning?
No. Like,
well,
in a bad
sure
way.
Did. Yeah.
Deej?
And then little
gap.
Yeah. Oh,
Deej.
Did you have both the twins?
No. Yeah. And just watching this kid's mind get blown. And he's, no, they're real.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
I know. And yeah, just what a rascal. You know, I think that they had a lot of fun when they went out and doing stuff
so
like
raunchy,
that.
It was so raunchy, but also so subtle.
Yes.
And it just was, yeah, it was one of the, I just remember it being one of the funniest things I'd ever seen.
And how
liberating
that must have been for him to be this wholesome TV character and just like, fuck it, this is really how I act.
Well, I think that he was the raunch before.
Yeah, that's
So his comedy came first.
Oh.
And then he had, but then we had seen the comedy after.
Because
he, the way I understand it, again, I didn't do a whole lot of research, but the way I understand it is like when they had, got him for both of those shows, they were like, how is anybody going to take this dirty comedian seriously?
Oh, because nobody had heard of him.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, he probably has a small local following.
He did, but they were just like, and thank goodness they did, because then he became,
and it was before
Danny
the internet,
Tanner.
So they didn't have to, you know, shove down the, the penis box stuff.
Right, exactly. Let me put a
penis.
Oh my God, that was so,
this guy cannot run for office. I love that about him. I didn't have anything else besides that for him.
No.
But I thought that was great. George Carlin, Richard Pryor, that whole thing. Park guy set his hair on fire.
Well, he set
himself on fire.
He set his whole self on fire.
I know.
Yeah.
But so to your point, Daryl, with your parents listening to comedy albums, because that was a big deal. And you could, you know, have a house party and smoke and eat Chex Mix or whatever people did in the 70s, throw their keys in the fishbowl. My parents listened to and had lots of albums from Red Fox.
Oh, yeah.
R-E-D-D-F-O-X-X.
Yeah.
And they were pretty smutty. They were kind of dirty.
He was the original. That's why I think that you guys, like Richard Pryor.
Yes.
and Eddie Murphy have to thank him to be the godfather
he was.
Of smut, even though, you know, here comes Bill Cosby, who was Mr. Clean and did nothing wrong. Well, till the end. He got to be at the end. But, you know,
dark.
That he looked at, like, Red Fox as, oh, man, you know, that's terrible.
In Delirious... Eddie Murphy talks about Bill Cosby calling him and saying,
so you need to tone it down.
Yeah, why, right.
Yeah, I would like to talk to you. I think you're doing it a little bit too late.
Yeah, and
what a hypocrite.
Total. Yeah. I mean, it's just funny.
So, it's
great
well,
people.
Look,
I never look use the F.
Look how it ended up in the end for him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean.
Speaking
of putting keys in a bowl.
Oh, my God.
Oh, just put your keys over there and have this little sippy sip of this drink.
Have some Jesus juice. It'll be fine.
But, yeah, no, Red Fox, I mean, gosh, I mean, he was another one, you know, that he was a bad, bad mouth comedian before, and then he got, like, the show Sanford and Son, and like, they were thinking, how are we going to keep him from blowing off, you know, this and that? But
and that was a great show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was good.
But I have something, two things about him.
Okay.
One about Sanford and Son, sorry if I interrupted you.
No.
He was 68 years old when he died in 1991. Did you know he literally died of a heart attack? He really was coming to join Elizabeth.
I did not.
He's
know
seen
that.
Her.
Yeah, he'd been married many, many times, but he went to join Elizabeth.
Oh.
But I saw when I was looking him up, there he had a special called Dirty, Dirty Jokes. And guess who the most famous person in that was? Let's say Red Fox was the MC and there were all these other comedians on there.
What year was it?
I reckon late 80s, early 90s, right before he died. Which, by the way, he looked really dapper. He had like a jive turkey hat on and a leather jacket. Red Fox.
It's all more ebony people.
No, it was a mix. It was a mix, and there it was actually mostly white people, but they were all smutty comedians. The most famous one being a white guy,
Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh no, good one.
Oh, I thought he would.
But no, this one. It was around that time, and he also he was a character. The comedian was a character.
Was it like Andy Kaufman or?
It was Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh,
remember the Dirtiest Dirty? Yeah. Talk about shock value.
That's true. I forgot about it. Well, you know what? I never thought he was funny either.
Me either.
Although
Hickory Dickory Dock.
Yeah, it was just dumb.
Yeah.
But he is a very good actor.
Well, in what?
Ford Star Fairland? Is Born.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
Touche.
Little Boy Blue, he needed the money.
God.
No. Guys loved him, right?
Guys, he was another one of those ones where the guys like, that's my kind of guy. Because you couldn't get away with acting like that. So
right.
You could watch him act like that. But
he was saying what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Well, we all thought he was dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The girls He's didn't like him at all.
What, Ford Fairlane?
He was also in Ford Fairlane, yeah.
His stupid hair and his stupid cigarette.
Stupid snail.
Remember you do that stupid, like...
Yeah, like smoke on the back of his head.
Can't you just go in there? Yeah.
Yeah, dumb. I didn't like him. Okay, so then that kind of brings you to, again, not a new comedian, but somebody, this is, and I actually think that this person is one of the smartest men on the planet.
I know who you're going to say.
Dave Chappelle.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to say that.
Oh, yeah.
Snap, amazing.
Yeah. I think that I have never... seeing somebody who can bring comedy full circle and also be so wise and and not even political because
topical. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And stuff because he has a tendency to not even you kind of feel as though because he's an entertainer and he's also African American that he probably would tend to lean left and stuff. But he doesn't let that show. He puts it kind of all out there and says, okay.
Like, make your own decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what we got. Let's talk about it. He even, when he was on Saturday Night Live a couple weeks ago, talked about and made it funny.
Yeah.
The fucking fires in California.
That was a famous bit.
I can't even believe that he could make something like that funny.
He's a genius.
He's insanely a genius. And... he can, and you don't even think about, because he does use those words when they need to be there.
They're
with
appropriate.
The emphasis on the word.
Yes,
and
yes,
and that's Lorne Michaels knows when to bring him in when there's a big issue.
That's true.
And he's like, I need somebody that's a comedian that'll lightheartedly make this make sense to somebody,
smart.
But have something funny in there.
Well, you know, there's so much going on with people who either love Trump or hate Trump. I mean, it's like not even a political thing right now.
Yeah.
It's more of a hate a man thing.
Yes.
And to have somebody who comes in and can make like he didn't take a side.
Yeah.
He just kind of
like commentary.
What, yeah. It's like, this funny is what's commentary. Happening. Is that funny? This is, but this.
Because it all is like, ridiculous.
Just, well, you know, and I think that people probably know my political views now. I mean, I think that we're all mostly independent, but that, that, you know, I tend to lean left. And I think that he said exactly what I've been thinking is, you know what, dude? And dude is Trump.
Yeah.
You know what, dude? Prove me wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. Great. What, please do.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. That's please, smart. That's all I can say is that do the right thing.
Yeah.
Prove everything that I'm thinking wrong and I'll eat my hat.
Yes.
So,
yes, I want to eat a hat.
And he says it way better than I do.
But no, yeah.
Who is the funny, is it Wayne Brady? That's,
he's good too.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't mentioning him. I was mentioning him in capacity to Dave Chappelle. So I've only seen like two Dave Chappelle episodes, and I saw him at your house, and I was drunk with your dogs.
And his best ever, if you guys want to see the funniest other than Bob Saget, is the funniest, Prince. It's called For What It's Worth. Is the Dave Chappelle comedy special.
Okay.
YouTube it or whatever and stuff. It is by far the funniest stand-up comedy.
I want to see his whole catalog.
Yeah.
But you know that somebody is hilarious when you don't know that much about their catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And I laugh listening to you guys imitate parts of the show or Brian imitating it.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly there were, well, not supposedly, actually, there was a episode on his show that he did with Ken Brady, and he was making fun of Ken Brady for being such
Wayne
a goody.
Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady.
Yeah.
For being such a goody-goody or whatever. And then they go out, and Wayne Brady's like, hey, we need to go to the ATM first. And they stop by some hookers, and he's like, this is my ATM. Money? Where's my money? Don't make Wayne Brady choke a bitch.
Yeah. He's such a goody goody.
Well, then they're driving and
he's doing coke.
Chappelle's freaking out. He's kind of like, and he goes, Chappelle, don't be a bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so good. So Dave Chappelle is an excellent one that I didn't have on my list. My favorite genius, I think, as far as political and societal commentary is Chris Rock. It doesn't matter what he's talking about. It's fucking hilarious.
He's funny.
Whether you agree with him or not, I think he's very common sense and really smart and so non-fake about his progression in life. You know, he grew up very poor and everything, and with a certain amount of education or not education, and still one of the smartest people you could ever hear speak. But then, kind of like Ron White, he'll just be like, yeah, so I was on my jet. You guys, thanks, by the way. And, you know, and, you know, my daughter goes to this, you know, really smancy-ass white school. Thank you, by the way. And he's real and funny and incisive, and I don't think he wants to hurt anybody's feelings. He's like, this is all weird. Don't you guys think so, too?
Oh, except for Jada Pinkett Smith. He didn't care about hurting her feelings.
Yeah, no.
That's fine.
Yeah.
No, because she's weird.
She laughed at it, and then she realized, oh, wait, they're laughing at me.
You know? That's a whole thing in itself. But I never thought that Chris Rock was that funny on SNL.
Yeah.
Or
oh, no, he wasn't. Stand-up, all stand-up.
Yeah, or even as an actor, like if he's in a movie or whatever, he's my least favorite character.
Agreed.
His stand-up is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's seriously one of the funniest I've ever seen as well. Yeah.
Well, and I don't know how old he is. I bet he's just barely older than us.
Yeah, I think he's like Daryl's age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But very relatable with the, you know, the tough parents, the parents of the 70s are just like, walk it off, throw some Tussin on it.
Yeah, Tussin.
It's fine. I got a broken leg. Throw some Tussin on it.
Oh, you know who I just thought of who was actually kind of, when you said that, Dennis Leary.
Oh, so good.
His stand-up was funny and he was raunchy too.
His comedy CD that I had, because it came out when I was working at Disc Jockey, so I had the sample or whatever. I think it has fucking the title.
It could be. Well, he had the song. Yeah. I'm an asshole.
They redid that the other night on Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Fallon. I sent that to Shelley the other day.
Yeah.
And then women-wise.
Oh, wait,
I have one more to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was back, if you get a chance, go back. Richard Pryor, this is SNL early days.
Okay.
Richard Pryor and Chevy Chase do a skit.
Oh, tell us.
Where Chevy Chase is interviewing him for a job, and he goes, not a job, he goes, kind of one of those ones where you say, what would you think if I said this word? What would you think if I said this word?
Okay.
I can't repeat it because it's bad.
I mean,
but even for SNL back in the day, this was risky because they say the N-word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah.
On purpose.
It's
live.
Funny that you can still, I mean, not funny.
Yeah.
Not funny, haha, but funny, funny
odd. You can still go back and find that. They haven't erased
stuff. No, not that. That you can now say the F-word, but the N-word is still...
As it should be.
As it's a power. Be. No, I'm not saying.
Yeah.
No, yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that it does have that power of negativity.
But yeah.
People assume that you mean it, and it, yes.
Yes, right.
But yeah, I was
I'm not touching it.
That's crazy, you know, that I just watch this, and you know, Richard Pryor just gets into his face, and it's pretty good. But yeah, to think that was an old SNL skit.
Yeah.
One that also was with Richard Pryor. You know, he did so many movies with Gene Wilder.
Yes.
But they never hung out. They weren't friends at all.
Huh. No, they faked it so well.
Yeah, they were not. And when he got sick, Gene Wilder went to see him and stuff and said, you know, why? They said then, why weren't we friends?
Oh.
We had every reason to be friends.
Ed and Amanda. You are black and I am white. You are blind as a bat and I have sight.
That we just seen that last night.
We did. That was
fine. So good.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, it was like after the cameras, we, okay, cut. That meant for you go cut your lines and for Richard Pryor. And
yeah, they were just in a party in time guys, of their life doing different things.
Yeah, I think they just had different, they were just doing different things and they had great.
You don't hang out with everybody at work.
True.
No.
Exactly. That is true. It's just weird that you think that they would.
You know? They seem like, their chemistry was so good. You thought that they had offstage chemistry, but.
Yeah, that's probably bad.
I must cut this guy just really quick. Bobcat Goldthwait. I think he was kind of dirty, but he was in Shakes the Clown. I don't know. Whatever.
Okay.
But one that I love. That I think you love, Ricky Gervais.
Oh yeah,
but I love Ricky Gervais,
and he's filthy. He talks about cocks all the time.
He says cunt all the time.
Yeah,
he makes it beautiful.
He does.
He makes it beautiful. I forgot about Ricky Gervais. He's
the
amazing.
How could you forget about him?
I just in this whole because he's just.
You know,
it's funny because he's dirty, but he's eloquent.
Yes,
the he's one British that totally makes everything forgettable though, but caused some of the biggest ruckus. Gallagher.
Oh, Gallagher.
You know?
He's only dirty with watermelon.
But people...
I don't remember any of his stand-up
besides watermelon.
Was he dirty?
Yeah, he was kind of dirty.
You got dirty.
But yeah, you know, you got watermelon all over you and stuff.
No, I know that, but...
And then I think the one that kind of wrote his coattails, kind of doing weird shit, was Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
He wasn't dirty either.
He wasn't? He's just a prop comic.
Right, I don't think
his Vegas one is kind of dirty.
Is it?
Yeah,
I don't know. I never saw him. I don't think that.
I almost called him Carrot Cake.
Prop comics are funny either.
I think Zach Ganella Kafakakis was funny. He used to be a prop.
Yeah,
he played piano and stuff. Yeah, and he would have like a.
That's not Zach Galifianakis.
That's
albino.
Yeah,
that's the other
his name. Jim
Gaffigan.
Jim
Gaffigan.
Yeah, the one Kelly David.
I'll stay on the same.
Yeah,
Zach Galifianakis.
Okay, so
can people want a break before we go into lady comments?
Go have a little bit of a break, and then we can do that and do favorite bits and
comments.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Start to realize there are more ways to describe filthy words than there are filthy words. Seemed curious to me. Someone was awfully interested in them. They found an awful lot of ways to refer to them. And I did too. Called them bad language. Dirty. Filthy. Foul. Vile. Vulgar. Coarse. Unseemly, in poor taste, street language, locker room talk, gutter talk, barracks language, naughty, saucy, bawdy, raunchy, rude, lewd, lascivious, indecent, profane, obscene, blue, off color, risque, suggestive. Cursing, cussing, swearing. All I could think of was shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits, man. Seven.
Thank you for letting us take a little bit of a break. We were just getting so excited about all the comedy stuff. It's just something that we all love. We wanted to talk a little bit more about female comics, dirty female comics. The one that came to my mind first, because I don't think there are a lot of really, really super dirty ones. Well,
A handful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Two, Chelsea Handler.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Whitney Cummings.
Oh, yeah.
They're both on my list.
Yeah.
She, Whitney Cummings, was famous for doing the roasts, right? Or is that Nicole?
No, that's Nikki Glaser.
They both did.
Nikki Glaser. Okay.
But
Nikki
Glaser's
really bad.
Yeah.
Yes. I was watching one of her shows, one of her stand-up comedies.
And Whitney Cummings?
No, Nikki Glaser.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who the hell is this broad? Mm-hmm. And she's sitting there talking. Well, she went on this whole tangent about how she likes anal sex.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, you know, I love anal sex. Black men, anal sex, white men, whatever. And she goes, oh, crap. She goes, fuck. And she goes, I forgot my dad's in the audience, and I'm sitting here talking about anal sex. Right? And my dad's, and I go, you know.
I remember Daryl telling me that he was uncomfortable with
that.
Yeah.
Like, and I didn't know. I knew that she did the roast or whatever, but she was never that bad on the roast.
Uh-huh.
But, she apparently did the roast of Tom Brady, and she was phenomenal.
Oh, that's what's got her even more famous.
So now she became, she was the host of the Golden Globes, and I think she did a good job.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, she that's how she got her foot in the door, I think, at the end.
Shock, shock.
What's the name of that lady that played, she does the voice of the mom on Family Guy, and she was on Marvelous Miss Maisel. She's a little kind of...
I can see her, but I don't know what her name is.
I can't think of it right now. But anyway, I saw she did a one-woman show, and it was right after she got divorced or something. And it was fucking filthy, too, which is great. And it was funny, and it was fine. However, same deal, parents in the audience thing. Mm. And it's like, I'm not even there, and I'm dying.
Yeah.
I'm just dying.
Yeah. I get, I mean, obviously, I still get... not irritated, that's a real word.
Right.
I get,
and it's not because she's a woman.
When my mom hears me say the F word, so.
Yeah. And it's not that she's a woman, and that it's not ladylike or any of that bullshit. I would feel just as disgusting if there was a man talking about how much he likes anal sex on the stage in front of his mom and dad.
Yeah.
And you said Amy Schumer, right?
Number one.
Oh, yeah. She kills it, man.
I that's so funny because. I wouldn't say that she would be number one. I love it.
Oh, she's filthy. Yeah. She's one of the first filthy
ones. She's one, though, that could talk about anal sex, and you're like, because she makes it sound almost pleasant.
That's actually my favorite bit of hers. I can't remember if it was the first or second comedy special that she had, but she was talking about a kind of reserved boyfriend before she got married, and they didn't really talk a lot in bed. They just did their things and moved on in their vanilla way. And one day, she whispers to him, she's like, do you want to try some ass play? And he goes like, okay. And then he like taps on her butthole like a microphone. Does that feel good?
No. Okay, now I'm uncomfortable. I don't think I've seen a lot of her stand-up, so I guess I'm the wrong... But I like her as an actress. I think she's pretty funny. I did listen to her on Smartless, the podcast.
Yes.
And she wasn't as funny as I wanted her. Like, I think that the people who are supposed to be funny aren't as funny on podcasts, and the people who aren't supposed... Like, Sarah Paulson on Smartless was amazing.
Yeah.
And she's...
Kristen Wiig, not that funny.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's funny. Yeah. But the one thing that I did think that was funny about the Amy Schumer on the podcast was apparently she has her uterus bronzed and it sits on her desk.
Sure.
Because it was such a big deal for her to get a hysterectomy because she had such a hard time with her pregnancy.
Yeah.
And she'd never be able to have another baby biologically like that again.
Permanently there.
And
Arnett,
thank you. Actually, like, was like, what in the fuck is that on your desk? And she's like, it's my uterus. Bronzed and stuff. And I just thought that was really funny because who does that?
She's great. So, I think she walks to the beat of her own drummer, for sure.
So do we all have, like, maybe I'm taking over here?
We're good. We're all done.
Okay, great. A favorite bit of a comedian's that, I mean, just, you're like, if you think of one, what do you think is the one that cracked you up the most?
I still have more chicks.
Oh, sorry.
I got Eliza Schlesinger was great, but did you guys see the Ali Wong?
I got Ali Wong down, too.
She was great.
I haven't seen it, and I want to. I love
it. It's filthy. It's so filthy.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's good, too? I can't, was that the one that you said, Ali?
Ali Wong.
Ali Wong. But what's the gal that she's the Hispanic gal that does the nail.
Oh,
she's not dirty though.
She's not dirty. Yeah.
But have you ever seen her stand up comedy?
Yeah.
The whole thing? I think after people start having kids, I think it brings something out in them because she talks. Yeah, she talks.
I haven't seen anything since her because she's on my clean comics thing.
Oh, yeah.
Got
it. Okay. Well, Angela Johnson.
My clean comics.
Good one. Thank you. Uh-huh. I think the godmothers of dirty female comedy, Sarah Silverman and Wanda Sykes.
Oh, I forgot about Wanda
Sykes. Sarah Silverman made a career out of it. She was doing shows and everything else. Yeah, like She embarrasses me sometimes.
She's too dirty. I like Sarah Silverman better as an actress than I do as a comedian.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Wanda Sykes, I love no matter what she does. She Absolutely. Could just sit here and look at me and I'd start laughing.
We need to work on our imitation of her. She's got the greatest
laugh. Her laugh is the best.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I'm sorry that I had so many people.
She should tour with Chris Rock because they're kind of the same.
Yes.
She's kind of like the female, not just because she's black and all this, but they say the same stuff that make you think too. Like
she's very smart. She was a sports announcer.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, before she was a comedian.
Well, she's got a great voice.
Yeah. Don't quote me on that, but I'm going to double check that and probably never come back with it. But I know that she did something, some kind of comment. I think she was a sports commentator.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But
so,
yeah.
So was your question going back to it? Was it like, what makes you cringe? Like, does that mean when you're alone or with your other people or with your parents or... What was your question?
My question was, what is your favorite dirty bit?
Oh, your favorite dirty bit.
Not bits.
Yeah. As opposed to... I like my own dirty bits. Oh, my gosh. Almost anything off Delirious.
Oh, really?
Probably. Okay. And Ricky Gervais. And this is not making fun of trans people at all. It was kind of making fun of society at a time where people were getting outraged about, not people's rights, but... bathrooms.
Okay.
It's the bathroom joke. And please don't come for me. I didn't write it, but the way that he says it is great.
Okay.
So Ricky Gervais is talking about, you know, the shared bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, this woman comes out in this make-believe scenario and says, hey, I don't want this man using my bathroom. And they're like, well, you know, he's got a dress, he's got this, he's got that. And she's like, well, what if he rapes me? And they go, well, what if she rapes you, you bigot?
Oh.
And I don't know. It's crazy. And it's like, oh, yeah, women are great. You know, I don't like those old-fashioned women with wombs. You know, I like the ones with beards and cocks. And it's so ridiculous. And I'm not making fun of anybody.
No.
Like, he's just pointing out this...
scenario.
That's the thing that we all have to see, though.
Yes. It can't be honest. The fear makes it funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The truth makes it funny.
Yes.
Because we're all uncomfortable to begin with, it's like, how do we address this?
Yeah.
That's how he addressed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it in a funny way.
Well, that's right. Like Dave Chappelle said on that one thing. He got attacked by the trans community.
Yeah.
And he goes, do you realize one of my very best friends is a mm-hmm. trans woman?
Yeah.
Right.
And where do you think I get some of my comedy and stuff? By hanging out with them at the trans bars and stuff.
Because, yeah.
You know, it's research for me. And he goes, I feel if I can say anything about her... to her, you know, her face about it. He goes, I can say it's not...
I don't think it's hurtful.
That's what brilliant comedy is when it makes you so uncomfortable that you have to laugh.
Yes.
I mean, so... Well, I've actually never seen
it. You saw the British one, didn't you? No? Okay,
no, which I should, because I love her.
I love that shit.
What the fuck?
What are you doing? You're wasting all your time.
But my favorite comedy bit, I think, ever, speaking of... insanely uncomfortable is when Dave Chappelle does the bit about Elizabeth Smart.
Oh, I love that.
Act it out.
Oh,
God.
So if you guys don't know if you're too young or you just blocked it out of your memory, Elizabeth Smart was this little girl who was about 16-ish, 15 or 16, who was abducted. It's not funny. That part's not the funny. That's why it's so uncomfortable.
And she's okay. So that
she's
also
okay.
is... Yes.
She was abducted. She was taken away by these people.
How far was she taken away?
Like two exits. Yeah. And that's the thing that... And so James Chappelle does this whole bit about how she got so much publicity because she was a little white girl. And on the other end of the country, there was a little black girl who was abducted and chewed her way out of
her rope.
She's just chewing away at her.
She was back home an hour later.
Yeah. And it's just like how the whole thing is about how ironic and double standard we are with. And a lot of people who listen to true crime know that there's the what do they call it?
The white girl
syndrome,
or
whatever.
It's a media driven terrible thing.
Yes,
that we only focus on
white girls,
attractive white ladies. Yeah.
Attractive white ladies the minorities don't get as much publicity, which is totally true.
And that was his hilarious way to shine a light on that.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And so
you have to be uncomfortable before
funny?
You change things.
Yes. So is it funny that Elizabeth Smart was abducted? Absolutely not. The way he presented it is seriously one of the funniest bits in all comedy.
And that's genius.
Yes. But
then how he ends it, too. She wasn't so smart after all.
Oh, my God. God.
You have to laugh.
It turns out Elizabeth Smart was not so smart after all. I just did a Chris Rock
there. They were really good. But okay. Like during COVID, Brian and I went to, like in 2021, a couple of comedy things outside, and they were so sterile and inoffensive that they were not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was tiptoeing around shit and talking about the disease. And like, if I talk about this disease for 5 fucking more seconds, I'm going to blow my head off.
Right.
I'm out because I want to hear real comedy and talk about real things. And I'm glad that, you know, when everybody was getting canceled, right? You can't say this, you can't say that, you can't say this. And now I think that's going away. It's like we can all be
real. As bad, but I still think that we all, in the back of our heads, think about it.
Sure.
I mean, we've even, as a tiny, teeny, tiny podcast that we are, have had people who have said things that are offensive, that they've written in to say that things are offensive to
them. That is true.
Yeah.
But we weren't like, I don't know, aren't big enough to get canceled, I guess. You know, it's not like I don't feel like we're afraid to not say what we want to say.
That's the good thing about being micro-celebrities.
That's right. You only get micro-canceled.
Yeah.
Or if you cancel us, no one will notice.
Right.
Who are those people, anyway?
What about favorite clean comics, you guys? Just really fast. Brian Regan's good.
He's so good. Mm-hmm. And Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan's great.
Yeah. Nate Bargatze. I love him. He's got a bunch of specials on right now.
Ellen.
Yes.
Paula Poundstone.
Yes.
Angela Johnson.
So
which
good.
Daryl thinks is, I'm going to have to see about that.
Yeah.
And Fluffy.
Fluffy. Oh,
Gabriel Iglesias.
Bad, I'm just Fluffy.
Yeah.
That's cute. He's cute. He always tells stories about his stoner neighbor.
Yeah, he's just great.
He is great.
You named off what, I don't pay attention to the clean ones.
That's what I was saying. Daryl had a deer in the headlights, like, clean.
Who are these clean comedians you're speaking of?
That's the thing about, like, clean comedians.
Yes.
Like, I would say that, especially with, like, Paula Poundstone and Ellen or whatever, they can throw in the F word here and there.
Yes.
But it's very, very poignant. And if they do, because they don't do it as much, they make you stop to think about how important it is.
Right. It has more emphasis.
Yeah.
I did clean ones too. But again, Mitch Hedberg, I think he's one of those middle-of-the-road guys.
Yeah.
He might have said cuss words every once in a while. Like, I cannot imagine a scenario where I will need to prove I purchased this donut.
Yeah.
I have said fucking donut. I don't know.
Oh, they have the receipt.
Do you have a receipt for that donut? Wait a minute.
Yeah. So great.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we then are wrapping this up,
this
and we will
great,
come
guys.
Back with some Witch a Wow.
I'm sure we could win on a whole lot longer.
Oh, for sure.
All right, be right back.
Remember in Utah last year, 15-year-old girl Elizabeth Smart was kidnapped, and then they finally found her, and the whole country was relieved. And I was the only one saying, damn, she wasn't that smart after all. Not because she got kidnapped. That could happen to anybody. I'm not knocking her for that. I'm just saying, if you kidnapped me when I was 15, you got to take me further than 8 miles away from my house, man. God damn. You can't hold me prisoner around shit I recognize. I'll break away. I'll break away. Fuck off me, nigga. That's my bus stop. I know where I'm at. I'm going home. She was missing for 6 months, 8 miles away from my house. That's two exits, man. That's nothing. And while she was missing, during this half a year that this girl is missing, there's a 7-year-old black girl gets kidnapped in Philadelphia. Nobody knows her name. They might have talked about it 2 or 3 times on the news, but she should have been the top story because she chewed through the ropes and had both of these motherfuckers in jail in 45 minutes flat. 7 years old.
Alrighty, guys. Well, it's that time for Witch a Wow. I love this one. We changed it up, like, you know, from last year we all had our specialties. Now we all have a specialty of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, who would like to be the first to tell us your tale of what you got?
I'll go first. My Witch a Wow this week is music. And because I've been having such kind of just a rough week or whatever, a couple days, month, whatever, I just was having a hard time concentrating on anything, so I went with what we've been watching lately on TV, and we just watched an episode of a show called Beyond Saturday Night Live, and you guys know how much love Saturday we all do, and stuff, and there was a complete and total episode that was probably at least an hour and a half to 2 hours long. I think they all are. They're really long, which is great because it's awesome. But just about the cowbell.
They did a whole
documentary episode about the cowbell.
Yes. Skit.
Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, where have you been?
Totally.
So, first of all, it was not called cowbell. It was called recording session.
Oh.
When they started it. Things that I didn't know about it was that Will Ferrell was the one who wrote the sketch.
Oh.
Which I didn't know he even wrote anything for SNL. I thought he was just a featured player. Because sometimes they go back and forth. Sometimes they're just writers. Sometimes they're just cast members. Sometimes they do both. I never knew that he was a writer. So I guess he brought this to the table. He first brought it for Norm MacDonald to do it.
Huh.
And didn't work out so well, which doesn't surprise me because, sorry, Norm, but never liked you. Didn't think you were funny at all. And you were mean to Shelley.
Okay. Well, we got him in the end.
We did. So the cowbell skit was about Will's take when he was a kid about, I wonder who was the guy who played cowbell on the Blue Oyster Cult song,
Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yep. Yeah.
And he just always thought about that ever since the first time he ever heard it. He was like, what possessed them to do that? So they went back and talked to the Blue Oyster Cult guys. And that's a whole thing in and of itself.
They don't even have the straight story.
No, really. Everybody has a different story about it.
Different story for it. Different people play the cowbell.
Well, and then one of them said that it wasn't even the cowbell. It was a wooden lock. But they don't really remember. And stuff. So was it a cowbell? And then, so after Will had kind of done some research about that, he didn't think wooden block sounded that funny, so cowbell sounded better. The other thing was that it ended up being Christopher Walken, who was the guest. They gave him the sketch. When they did it in rehearsal, it was in the smallest stage that they have, which actually, you can't even really see that stage from the audience.
Oh,
you could hear everything.
You could hear it, but you couldn't really see it.
It's like way off to the side.
They called it Shit Can Alley because everything that went on there would get shit canned before the live performance.
Oh, okay.
So they were pretty sure it was going to get shit canned.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when they did the first go round, they did it. Christopher did it very flatly. I think he didn't want to like do anything too much because he was kind of saving himself for the live show.
Right, right.
Everybody was kind of like, you know, stuff, whatever. Well, Will Ferrell decided at the last minute to change his shirt to a smaller size, which made it right up, and his tummy was hanging out, which was part of it. And they went balls out. I guess Bill Parnell, the other thing, he was playing the lead singer. They called him Unbreakable.
Yeah.
And so Will was trying to break him the whole time.
Okay. He was playing the cowbell right in his face.
With all the energy.
Yeah. And also, Christopher Walken said that I'm the Bruce Dickinson, which Will had seen as the producer on the album.
Okay.
But he really wasn't. It was another guy altogether. Bruce Dickinson was never even
a person. It was just a name that was in the credits.
So Will's like, that's how far my research went, which made me laugh because that's kind of how we are.
Right. Perfect,
so there was never really even a Bruce Dickinson.
No.
Well, there was, but he was like a costume guy or something. Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, it was really, 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 really funny and cute. I suggest if you like Saturday Night Live, or even if you aren't as huge of a fan as we are, to watch the Beyond Saturday Night Live because it's really interesting. But the other thing that I thought was really funny about this whole episode is the Foo Fighters were the guest, the musical guest that night. And Christopher Walken asked them, do you put the emphasis on Foo or Fighters? And Dave Grohl said, oh, definitely Fighters. And when he said it, he said, and now the Foo Fighters. And Dave Grohl goes, he was so excited.
Yeah, he goes, I was setting him up for this.
And he goes, I set him up for it. So just in your opinion, do you believe that cowbell is the best sketch in SNL history?
Oh, shit. Top five, for sure.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah, they said that they think it's the best sketch in SNL history.
I don't know. As far as simplicity and very similar to that, I think Broccoli is up there, too.
I think top so, five. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, Broccoli and Kate McKinnon.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, top. Those are definitely top.
Yeah.
That is an amazing five. Story. I need to watch that show. I love the backstory and how it got built and stuff.
So cute.
I just saw yesterday when I was going through a bunch of YouTube videos, and I was struck by two things. So it starts out with Will Ferrell. I wasn't even looking up anything. Mm-hmm. I was maybe on a Ted Lasso tale.
Right.
And, and Will Ferrell shows up. And, by the way, this is in very recent times, and he looked really handsome, which I was not expecting. Mm-hmm. He's got a really good haircut.
He's just a handsome man.
Yeah, he's good looking. I didn't know. But anyway, he goes, yeah, I ran into Christopher Walken in Europe or whatever, did you? Mm-hmm. I don't know where it was. I ride an airport. And Christopher Walken walks up to him and he goes, you've ruined my life.
You know you ruined my life, right? Yeah.
That is awesome.
And stuff, yeah, he's like, everybody, wherever I go, they say, do you want more cowbell?
Do you have the fever?
For the
cowbell.
For the cowbell.
Mr. Walken, would you like a side of cowbell with your fettuccine?
Like, you ruined my life. Yeah, that's right. Awesome. Also, just in on a Will Ferrell kick,
please.
If you haven't seen Will and Harper.
You said it was great.
So great. Okay. So great show on Netflix.
Yes.
Okay, I'm done.
That's a road trip friend show, yeah?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Lisa, excellent. Well done. Mm-hmm. Daryl, okay. Daryl, do you want to follow up that masterpiece?
I'll follow masterpiece. That. Yes. Okay, so mine is Dumb Criminals.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dumb Criminals. Okay. Lefties. This guy's name is Derek Mosley. Planning is hugely important when trying to pull off a crime. And it's essential to success of the act that every detail be well thought out in advance. But Derek Mosley didn't place very high importance on these terms before he decided to rob a store, to rob a gun store. Yeah, he's going to go in, I'm going to rob a gun store.
It's already so.
So he went in armed with a bat.
Brought it back to a gun store. Don't bring a knife to a gun fight.
Seeing as it was a gun shop, the manager pulled a gun on the would-be robber and kept him in crosshairs until the authorities arrived.
So. Stay stupid, Daryl. Derek.
Right.
Darren. What's his name?
Derek.
Derek.
Yeah.
And Daryl.
Your stupid criminal in the last episode that was a rerun, Rock and Roll, it was Shailene and Darren, yeah.
Oh, I think that if it starts with a dare, the person's...
Yeah, look out. This guy's probably on the wrong side of the law.
The
manwich.
Yeah.
He did.
I got it.
Okay.
That's really good. He brought a bat to a gunfight.
Yeah, that's
so... okay, my witch of wow this week is animals. And you guys probably thought everything that you needed to know about seahorses, didn't you?
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you. You know jack all about seahorses.
Really?
Uh-huh. I got a lot of information.
I'm so excited.
Okay. Tiny as a grain of rice, or more than a foot long, they beat their small fins up to 70 times per second, about as fast as hummingbird wings.
Wow.
These cowboys of the sea are full of surprises. They swim poorly. The dwarf seahorse is the slowest moving fish in the world.
Oh.
Since they are poor swimmers, they are most likely to be found resting with their tail around a stationary object. This is where it gets crazy, guys.
Yeah.
Before breeding, seahorses may court for several days. Scientists believe the courtship behavior synchronizes the animal's movements and reproductive states so that the male can receive the eggs when the male or when the female is ready to deposit them. During this time, they may change color, swim side by side holding tails, or grip the same strand of seagrass with their tails and wheel around in unison as what is known as a pre-dawn dance. They eventually engage in a true courtship dance lasting about 8 hours. Guys never put in this much effort with me.
Like 8 hours?
During which the male pumps water through the egg pouch on his trunk, which expands and opens to display its emptiness. When the female's eggs reach maturity, she and her mate let go of any anchors and drift upward, snout to snout, out of the seagrass, often spiraling as they rise. They interact for about 6 minutes, reminiscent of courtship. Hold on. The last part is... When the female the female inserts her ovipositor into the male's
food pouch. You have an ovipositor.
There's consent and deposits dozens to thousands of eggs. As a female releases her eggs, her body slims while his swells. Both animals then sink back into the seagrass, and she swims away. Anyway, and also, their eyes go different ways like chameleons, just in case you were wondering. Mm-hmm. But when they're romancing each other, they change colors, kind of like a disco light.
And then they have the babies. The male are
the male does have the babies.
Yes, they're the only...
I think they're the only males of any species to do that.
Yeah.
But in any case, I want you to... Well, Amanda, mm-hmm. when this gets posted, to show seahorses in love because they're beautiful colors and they dance and they connect tails. And it's really sweet.
Aww. Me and Daryl went nose to nose while you were reading.
Yeah.
We did.
I don't know if we changed colors, though.
No.
They suck like food into their snouts.
Oh,
because I can't chase them.
Right? I eat so fast sometimes that I suck food into
you just my wait
snout.
For something to float by your nose and just go for it.
Got it.
I know that this is actually, I'm going to bring this on something you did. Okay, we have a show coming up and it's something you didn't know about me.
Yeah.
Remind me of the seahorses.
Okay, I will.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. I'm doing it today. So, by the way, that was from brainson.org. Oh. I've never used them before.
Mine was from Saturday Night Live. Beyond the Cowbell.
I didn't watch that shit.
It's so good. Cowbell. Anyways, you guys, thank you so much for listening to another show. We are so proud to have you as our listeners. If you haven't already, please join Patreon so that we can pay our bills, which there's some big ones coming up.
No, they're here now.
No, they're coming up today.
It's always
they're knocking
in
on
the
door. Hi, I'm a bill. Pay me.
Dude, January 31st.
Yes, so
And when this comes out, February 5th is going to be Jennifer Hugaboom's birthday.
Yay, Jen Bates, happy birthday, Jen Bates.
Love you, girl.
Yeah.
Hey, also, tell your friends, tell your family, interact, laugh out loud, live, love, laugh.
Yeah.
And stay witchy, my friends.
Stay bitchy.
Oh, no! Must be the season of